The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up today from the AmericanActionFund.org, American Action Fund announces its 2025 Braille book selections. Thousands of blind subscribers will receive Braille versions of classic and popular books. November 18, 2024, Baltimore, Maryland. The American Action Fund, AAF, for blind children and adults will soon begin distributing free Braille copies of new titles focusing on adventures, fantasy, imagination, cooking, poetry, games, and fun as part of its free Braille books program for the calendar year 2025. Thousands of blind children in the United States receive a free Braille book to keep each month. With over 500 titles already made available in Braille through this program, the Action Fund focuses on distributing books and series that have not previously been produced in Braille. The outstanding selections for 2025 are January, JoJo McCoon's M-A-K-O-O-N-S, Rule School by Dawn Quigley. February, Magnificent Makers No. 9, Rolling Through the Rock Cycle by Theanne Griffith. March, My Fox Ate My Homework by David Blaze. April, My Fox Ate My Cake by David Blaze. May, My Fox Ate My Alarm Clock by David Blaze. June, Cooking Class, 57 Recipes Kids Will Love to Cook and Eat by Diana F. Cook. July, My Fox Begins by David Blaze. August, My Fox Ate My Report Card by David Blaze. September, My Fox, My Friend Forever by David Blaze. October, My Pokemon Cookbook, Delicious Recipes Inspired by Pikachu and Friends by Victoria Rosenthal. November, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood by Fred Rogers. December, Super Fun Family Card Games, 75 Games for All Ages by Corinne Schmidt. For over a century, the Action Fund has been dedicated to the advancement of Braille literacy among blind and deafblind people, said Mark Riccobono, Executive Director of the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. Our free Braille books program for children furthers this mission by allowing kids to acquire and read the same books their friends are reading. And in fact, they can build their own library since the books are theirs to keep. Reading is also critical to learning, and the books we have selected for 2025 will help blind children build their skills in and enthusiasm for science, cooking, and poetry, as well as guiding them on exciting and fun adventures. We believe these books will contribute significantly to the education of these young Braille readers. Author of the My Fox series, David Blaze, shared, "Reading books will take you on adventures you never imagined, to thrilling places you've never been, introduce you to silly and amazing characters, and give you the knowledge and wisdom of kings and queens. There is nothing else in this world that can do what reading can do." This program is made possible through the generous individuals who support the work of the Action Fund through tax-deductible donations. To subscribe or learn more about the American Action Fund's free Braille books program, go to https://actionfund.org/programs/braille-books-program. About American Action Fund. The American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults, a nonprofit organization founded in 1919 and headquartered in Baltimore, helps blind people throughout the United States through programs and initiatives emphasizing Braille and tactile literacy, education, and independence. From FreedomScientific.com, join us for our February 2025 training events. The Freedom Scientific training team offers ongoing opportunities for you to advance your skills. We're excited to announce our jam-packed February training schedule where you're sure to find something that will help you at work, school, or play. If you have other questions or need assistance with registration, email training@vispero.com. That's V-I-S-P-E-R-O.com. We also welcome your suggestions for future training events. Be sure to revisit this page for additional events that may be added throughout the month. When, what, about, and where? Thursday, February 13 has passed. ACB Community Event, Use Windows Search with JAWS. We'll show you how to use the Windows Search feature with JAWS to quickly find apps, files, settings, and more. We'll also navigate, explore, and pin apps to the Start menu to make them easier to locate. American Council of the Blind. To request a link to join on Zoom, email community@acb.org. No need to register. I believe that was archived for availability later. Thursday, February 20, coming up, noon Eastern Time, software webinar, an introduction to the new Outlook with JAWS. We'll provide an overview of the new Outlook interface, plus show you how to navigate your mail and calendar, read and send messages, and schedule meetings. Freedom Scientific host. Register for this webinar at the hot link, which takes place on the Zoom conferencing platform. ACVREP credits will be available for those who attend the live webinar. Thursday, February 27th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, ACB Community Event, use JAWS Smart Navigation on web pages to navigate more efficiently. We'll show you how to use JAWS Smart Navigation to navigate controls and tables on web pages more efficiently. This feature is helpful when reading data and filling out forms. Hosted by American Council of the Blind, to request a link to join on Zoom, email community@acb.org. No need to register. Posted across platforms by ACB.org, ACB and other leading disability organizations respond to President Trump's recent remarks regarding the plane crash at Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport. Leading disability organizations. President Trump's blame of deadly plane crash on disabled federal workers is baseless, irresponsible. For immediate release, January 30, 2025, contact Jess Davidson at jdavidson@aapd.com, 202-975-0960. Dateline Washington. In remarks today at the White House, President Trump cast potential blame for the tragic and deadly plane crash that occurred on Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport on people with disabilities employed by the Federal Aviation Administration. Soon after the president's comments, multiple news agencies reported that the air traffic control tower was understaffed at the time of the crash. Despite these reports, the White House has continued to double down on their baseless claims. In response, the American Association of People with Disabilities, American Council of the Blind, Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, Disability Rights, Education and Defense Fund, United Spinal Association, National Federation of the Blind, and other leading disability rights organizations issued the following statement. The president's remarks today suggesting the deadly crash of Flight 5342 may have been the fault of public servants with disabilities are irresponsible, disparaging, and wrong. It is extremely inappropriate for the president to use this tragedy as an opportunity to advance his anti-diversity hiring agenda. The focus of the federal government and the entire nation should have been on the emergency response, a thorough investigation, and most of all, supporting the families and communities who lost their loved ones in this tragedy. People with disabilities proudly serve our nation through government service in every federal department and agency. Disabled employees, like non-disabled employees, are hired because they meet the qualifications needed to do the job. The Federal Aviation Administration has rigorous standards for hiring air traffic controllers and other FAA employees. Diversity hiring initiatives seek to expand the pool of potential qualified talent for a role. They do not supersede the qualifications and skills that the role requires. The implication that people are being hired to do a job for which they are unqualified is an unfounded lie that further reinforces harmful stereotypes against disabled people. The president is deliberately spreading falsehoods to demonize the quarter of American adults who live with disabilities rather than directing federal resources toward ensuring such a devastating tragedy never happens again. This is part of a broader coordinated attack on civil rights and equal opportunity across government. These attacks attacks do nothing to keep Americans safe and actually threaten our ability to ensure safety by building the strongest possible aviation workforce, said American Association of People with Disabilities President and CEO Maria Telm. Scott Thornhill, the executive director of the American Council of the Blind, stated, "The tragic accident that occurred near Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, don't know why I can't say that, is one we are all deeply saddened about. This is not a time for political posturing or speculation. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those who devastatingly lost their lives. We strongly denounce any insinuation that hiring individuals with disabilities had any part in this horrific event. One of the biggest factors keeping people with disabilities out of the workforce is baseless stigma around our ability to do our jobs. Despite ample data showing the capability and productivity of disabled workers, disclosing a disability still makes job applicants 26% less likely to even get a preliminary interview. Programs like the one President Trump attacked have been part of the federal government's work to eliminate that stigma. It is deeply disappointing to see our government now deciding instead to make it worse," said Colin Killick, K-I-L-L-I-C-K, the executive director of Autistic Self-Advocacy Network. "The president's harmful speculation unfairly targets disabled workers and reinforces dangerous and baseless stereotypes," added Nicole Bohn, B-O-H-N, executive director of the Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund. "Disability is not a liability, and these narratives only serve to fuel discrimination, exclusion, and stigma, particularly for disabled BIPOC workers who already face compounded barriers in employment. Right now, the focus must be on supporting the families and communities affected by this tragedy and ensuring a fact-based investigation, not on scapegoating disabled people who belong in every workplace, including aviation and public safety. The cause of the terrible plane crash at DCA last night remains unknown," said Marlene Sallow, S-A-L-L-O, executive director of the National Disability Rights Network. "Now is the time to thoroughly investigate what caused this accident and support the families who lost loved ones. It is not the time to blame or further stigmatize people with disabilities." Mark Riccobono, president of the National Federation of the Blind, stated, "Blind Americans share in our nation's mourning for the lives lost in last night's tragic accident. We are shocked that the president of the United States would reinforce unfounded misconceptions of disability by codifying them in the Keeping Americans Safe in Aviation executive order. We know that people with disabilities are among the best and brightest. We also know that our focus today and in the days to come should be on the lives lost, not the misunderstanding of the lives of people with disabilities." The National Organization of Nurses with Disabilities, NOND, said NOND dramatically and strongly disagrees with the statement made by the federal administration that people with disabilities create unsafe conditions for others. "The government's statement is appalling, dehumanizing, and blatantly discriminatory. NOND supports DEI, which is crucial to promoting the full inclusion of marginalized populations, including people with disabilities. Research indicates that with age, the incidence of disability and chronic health conditions increases. Disability is not about those of us who are disabled now. It is about our society at large. Blaming people with disabilities for the deadly crash at DCA is both misleading and deeply misguided. Individuals with disabilities are hired under already stringent standards due to existing biases. And when we secure employment, it is because we have clearly demonstrated our ability to perform the job with excellence," says United Spinal Association President and CEO Vincenzo Piscopo. "As a person with a disability myself, I can say without hesitation that I have proudly and consistently contributed value in every role I have had. To suggest otherwise is not only unfounded, but also undermines the contributions of millions of disabled professionals who excel in their fields every day." This statement is provided on behalf of the following organizations: American Association of People with Disabilities, American Council of the Blind, Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, Autistic Women and Non-Binary Network, Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law, Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, National Coalition for Mental Health Recovery, National Disability Rights Network, National Federation of the Blind, National Organization of Nurses with Disabilities, not dead yet, United Spinal Association. The American Association of People with Disabilities, AAPD, is a convener, connector, and catalyst for change, increasing the political and economic power of people with disabilities. As a national cross-disability rights organization, AAPD advocates for full civil rights for the over 70 million Americans with disabilities by promoting equal opportunity and economic power, independent living, and political participation. To learn more, visit the AAPD website, www.aapd.com. You can also access the report at Leading Disability Organizations, President Trump's blame of deadly plane crash on disabled federal workers is baseless, irresponsible, posted January 31, 2025. From fightingblindness.org, pioneering delivery strategies for blinding diseases therapy and inspiring women in science. Born and raised in Daytona Beach, Florida, Dr. Riles was inspired to pursue a career in ophthalmology at the age of 12 after watching a cataract lens placement video shown by a family member who was an ophthalmologist. This early fascination set her on a path that has now spanned 14 years in the field. Dr. Renee Riles, R-E-N-E-E-R-Y-A-L-S. As a graduate student, Dr. Riles worked in the lab of Dr. Bill Hausworth, H-A-U-S-W-I-R-T-H, at the University of Florida, where she witnessed the creation of the adeno-associated virus RPE65 therapy, which later became Luxturna. When I was in his lab, I got to see us make this virus used to deliver the gene, recalls Dr. Riles. I was also in the operating room when they dosed a patient and then took a sample of that virus back to the lab and injected it in mice to make sure it was working. So I really got to see a bench-to-bedside production of a clinical product, and that hooked me at that point in terms of wanting to generate a clinical product for retinal diseases. Dr. Riles' journey has been marked by her determination to be independent and career-driven. Despite the historically male-dominated nature of the field, she has always felt like a leader in science and has been surrounded by supportive women during her education and postdoctoral work. Now she is committed to helping other women in science continue on their career paths and demonstrating that success is possible. In her current work, Dr. Riles is developing lipid nanoparticles to facilitate gene editing therapeutics for inherited retinal diseases. Traditionally, viruses are used to deliver DNA to retinal cells, but Dr. Riles is pioneering the use of non-viral lipid nanoparticles to deliver mRNA to the retina. For this, PRP-H2-associated retinal degeneration research, Dr. Riles has been awarded a foundation-funded Brint Family Translational Research Award, BRINT. We are working to develop these non-viral carriers to be very specific for the photoreceptors or the retinal pigment epithelium, says Dr. Riles. Since these patients have a genetic mutation causing their vision loss, we're developing gene editing technology that can go in and correct that mutation. We're pushing the field forward, trying to do things that no one else can. At the OHSU-KCEY Institute, that's C-A-S-E-Y, patients can provide a blood sample, which Dr. Riles and her team use to grow human stem cells. This is the first milestone in their clinical pipeline. The second milestone involves optimizing the lipid nanoparticle carriers for gene editing machinery to target specific cells. Once both milestones are achieved, the team tests the technology in non-human primates or large animal models to ensure safety and efficacy before moving to clinical trials. Reflecting on her career, Dr. Riles says, "I've seen the field go from no FDA-approved therapies to one approved and many more clinical trials trying to get out the next FDA-approved therapy. So it's been amazing to be a part of this whole journey." She finds motivation not only in the potential to help patients, but also in the collaborative spirit of her team. "My team is constantly emailing me or asking me questions on how to further their research, so we've collectively working together for a more progress and high impact." The Foundation Fighting Blindness has also played a crucial role in Dr. Riles' work by connecting her with a PRPH2 support group and providing opportunities to present her research at events and conferences. It means a lot to me to be a part of this group, says Dr. Riles. It inspires me, and I just hope that I'm giving them hope, knowing that we are working on these different platforms and products that might make it to the clinic one day. Dr. Riles also serves on the Scientific Advisory Board at the Foundation Fighting Blindness, helping to choose which grants will be funded and curating the Foundation's annual Retinal Therapeutics Innovation Summit. She is a role model for other women in the field, demonstrating that success in science requires patience, grit, and perseverance. Looking to the future, Dr. Riles defines success as getting her own product from bench to bedside and collaborating with other groups to move their products into the clinic. No matter if it's my product or someone else's product, I'm still on that translational scientist trajectory, moving products from bench to bedside, says Dr. Riles. It's all about working together as a collective field. Dr. Riles is continually impressed by her patients' knowledge and engagement with the research. They know what's going on in the research, and they know what is in development, so they outsmart me much of the time, she says. Connecting with the patients that I'm working for is crucial for the research that's being done. On this special day, we celebrate Dr. Renee Riles and her incredible contributions to the field of blinding disease research. Her dedication, innovation, and leadership are paving the way for future generations of women in science. From NFB.org, Innovate to Elevate, Fostering Excellence in Rehabilitation Services for Blind Youth, in the Braille Monitor, February 2025. Article by Carlos R. Servan, Servaqn. From the editor, until recently, I had personally never heard the term pre-employment transition services, let alone its shorter form, pre-ETS. Apparently, the concept, as such, is relatively new, although training centers affiliated with the National Federation of the Blind and some other rehabilitation programs have offered outstanding services to blind children and youth for many years. Other programs, however, continue to fall short on this critical area. My own experience, admittedly, over 30 years ago, was that these services left a lot to be desired, so I ultimately continued my rehabilitation journey at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. Carlos Servan is the executive director of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, where he was the deputy director for services from 1998 until 2017. Before working in Nebraska, he coordinated transition from school to work programs in New Mexico, where, according to his official biography, he developed a model of training and work experience for blind youth, including those with multiple disabilities and minority backgrounds, based on a model of high expectations. The program he developed became nationally recognized as a model for other transition training programs across the country. This is unsurprising given Carlos's background. He came to the United States shortly after being blinded and losing his right hand in an explosion while training with the police force in his native Peru. Consequently, he found himself learning blindness skills at the same time he was learning the English language and navigating a new country and culture. To say that he successfully met the challenge is an understatement. Carlos holds both a master's in public administration and a law degree, and is a longtime Federation leader, having served as president of the student division and the Nebraska affiliate, among other roles. On the final day of the recent Dare to Be Remarkable conference, he spoke about his belief that collaboration with the National Federation of the Blind and other blind-led entities is crucial to successful pre-ETS. Here's what he had to say. As I prepared for this presentation, I reflected on the name and meaning of our conference, Dare to Be Remarkable. It is more than just a title. It is more than just a buzzword. It is about striving for greatness, aiming to be extraordinary, and challenging ourselves to excel. It means embracing our uniqueness and going beyond the ordinary. It is about having the courage to stand out and pursue excellence. Each of us has the potential to be remarkable. It begins with a mindset, a belief that we are capable of more than we think. It requires us to step out of our comfort zones, take risks, and push our boundaries. It's about setting high standards for ourselves and not being afraid to fail, because every failure is a stepping stone to success. Remarkable people are not afraid to dream big and work hard to turn those dreams to reality. Being remarkable is not always easy, but it is always worth it. Why do I start with these words? The Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, WIOA, mandates that at least 15% of basic support funds be expended on pre-employment transition services, pre-ETS. Yet many state agencies are returning funds to the federal government because they don't know how to utilize all of that 15%. They get stuck in red tape and fiscal obligations and become gatekeepers. While fulfilling these responsibilities is necessary, we must not allow them to paralyze us. Furthermore, in several cases, some states are allocating funds in areas that do not yield meaningful outcomes. We need to focus on having high expectations, challenge ourselves, and be innovative. For decades, we have worked on transition services, investing time and resources into what we know is achievable. We uphold high expectations and determination, ensuring our students master non-visual skills and know how to deal with public misconceptions about the capability of blind individuals. It took several decades for the federal government to recognize that investing in youth is essential for successful rehabilitation. I recall being monitored in the early 2000s when the Rehabilitation Services Administration, RSA, suggested we focus only on adults rather than providing services to those under 18. Today, the law requires us to allocate 15% of our budget to youth services. While the law can influence behavior, it does not necessarily foster understanding. Many agencies allocate funds, but often to unproductive areas. I won't have time to read his full speech, so please check out the current issue of the Braille Monitor for the rest of it. But skipping ahead, as society advances rapidly, we must prepare our students to succeed in various fields. Pre-ETS services are designed to equip blind students with the skills, knowledge, and confidence necessary for a smooth transition from school to the workforce. These services include a range of activities featuring 5 required activities, 4 coordination activities, and 9 authorized activities. The 5 required activities are job exploration counseling, work-based learning experiences, counseling on post-secondary education opportunities, workplace readiness training, and instruction in self-advocacy, including peer mentoring. These categories offer a framework for innovation and diversity in service delivery. Examples include job fairs, university tours, college workshops, resume writing, drafting cover letters, mock job interviews, meeting blind role models, finding mentors, attending placement conferences, on-the-job experience and on-the-job training, participating in integrated summer work experiences, mobility training, social skills development, advocacy and self-esteem activities, networking with employers, training in orientation centers, technology training, and opportunities for integrated school or after-school activities. The National Student Seminar and Washington Seminar are particularly well-suited for many of these activities. Students have the chance to engage with blind mentors, learn about colleges and universities, practice social and mobility skills, network with peers from across the country, develop advocacy skills, and advocate for initiatives with U.S. Congress members. When contracting for these programs, it is crucial to collaborate with entities that believe in the capabilities of blind individuals, those who have expectations and challenge us, and our students. In Nebraska, we have partnered with organizations like the Jernigan Institute for our mentoring program for pre-ETS consumers and job hunting skills for center students, JBNK services for summer work experience, etc. We ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 919-832-5138.